With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Why don't I start? Huh? The simplest way to put it, I have problems. I worry about diseases, so I have trouble touching things. In public places, it's almost impossible. I have a real big problem moving.
Talk about moving.
As long as I'm in my apartment, I'm okay. But when I want to go out, I get weird.
Talk about weird.
Talk about weird. Well, I get dizzy spells, nausea, cold sweats, hot sweats, fever blisters, difficulty breathing, difficulty swallowing, blurred vision, involuntary trembling, dead hands, numb lips, fingernail sensitivity, pelvic discomfort.
So the real question is, what is the crisis, Bob? What is it that you are truly afraid of?
What if my heart stops beating? What if I'm looking for a bathroom, I can't find it, and my bladder explodes?
Hey everybody, welcome back to Marriage and Martinis. This is Adam and Danielle. Say hi.
Hi.
And that was a clip from What About Bob, one of Bill Murray's funniest movies. But it was about a topic that we're very familiar with, which is OCD. And it takes a humorous take on the disorder, but we're here to talk about
Does he have OCD in the movie or just anxiety?
Like, no, he has a severe OCD.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah. It's worth a watch. It's a really great, funny movie.
Anything with him in it is amazing.
Right. But again, you know, having OCD is not a funny thing to have. But watching the movie, you have to use humor. Yes. And he does it in the right way. And just from that clip, you can tell where it was headed in that movie. So how do you want to start this? Like, how do we want to get going?
Okay, well, I think anybody who follows my blog, Where the F Is My Handbook, knows that I've been extremely open with the fact that I have severe OCD. I've, you know, had it in a mild sense all the way to a completely debilitating degree, depending on the time of life that, you know, that we're talking about. Yeah, so, you know, I think that it's important, and even as far as it affects everything, that, you know, marriage, parenting, friendships, other family issues, everything you do, if you have OCD or anxiety or any mental health disorder, you know that your life is just, it's different. It's just, you know, you have a different sort of take on everything. You're dealing with everything in a different way. So I thought it'd be a good idea. This is something I want to talk about a lot. And I figured, you know, well, we're still a new-ish podcast and people are getting to know us. This is
and we're an honest podcast.
So
we're willing to talk about,
of course. But what I was going to say is that, you know, look, if people are just getting to know us and they're knowing, you know, they're getting to know all these other aspects of us and the humor and, you know, the whatever, we've shared stuff about our sex life already. Like, you can't know me and not know about this, because this is just part of who I am. It's just enmeshed in my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I wanted to, to talk a little bit about it. And I don't know how articulate I'm going to be able to be because I'm bothered by it. I mean, you know, sometimes when I talk about it, I get emotional, but more the sense that when it's been happening to me, it often almost feels like an out-of-body experience. So you can't describe it almost, so I'm going to try my best. And
yeah. And anybody out there who doesn't have OCD, like myself, living with somebody with OCD, it's very... All right, so we're going to be talking about a lot of things that Danielle has gone through with her disability.
It's not a disability.
With her...
Illness.
Right. So it doesn't make sense to anybody who can't understand what this is all about.
Well, it's funny because you showed that clip about What About Bob, and he's talking about all these things, and you laugh, like, what if my bladder bursts? What if this? Right. And you're laughing, but... I'm kind of like, no, I like,
correct.
It's humorous, but...
Well, that's my point.
To someone with OCD, it kind of is on point.
Right. Like, that's what I'm trying to say, is that it makes no sense. There's no rationality behind any of it. You're not going to understand. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get it. There's no, again, no rationale behind it. You just have to – we'll get into all that.
Right.
You just have to understand.
Yes. And I have anxiety. You've dealt with anxiety before. We're both on Zoloft. I know a ton of people on Zoloft, or Prozac or, Luvox or whatever it is that people are taking. But basically it's all also about we got to get rid of this stigma. It's so dumb. It's so dumb that we're all, that there's judgment still about it. And, it's an illness like any other. And I'm still a productive, functioning human being. And, I think that to judge somebody for it is says a lot more about you than about them. So if somebody's going to judge me out there for it, then go for it.
Yeah.
But I think that from what everything that I've experienced with the blog and the people I've met already through the podcast and everything, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
Seems like we have some super cool people
listening.
We're all
fucked up in one way or another.
Yes, right? We are.
I think so.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, cheers.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so should I give a little bit of my where should I start? Should I start with my story, or should I give a little bit of background about OCD on the whole, so that people...
Why don't you start kind of before I even met you? Like, what'd you know about it? What did you even?
I don't think I got it till I met you.
So that makes sense.
Wow, God, I never thought of that before.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
No, I
kind of like I never had anxiety until I met you.
That's true. Well, you never had feelings until you met me. So,
fuck feelings. I don't like this feelings thing. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Fuck feelings.
Yeah. Aww. I was doing great without feelings.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You literally are like the Dexter 2.0.
Honestly, if I ever had to, I've been asked this before.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever had to like try to pick a movie. Movie star, TV show star, or whoever that you can relate to.
Yours is Dexter.
Dexter.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to kill anybody, kind of. But I get the whole, you know what? This is probably for another episode.
Right. I love how you're going to turn this into being about you.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
You said it, not me. So let's just say and leave it at that I can relate to Dexter.
Okay. We'll leave you with that, ladies
leave
and gentlemen.
It at that.
and people wonder why I have a mental illness. Okay. I'm going to give a little bit of I'm not a doctor. I've said that before. I am not, a specialist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just someone who knows a lot about it by the virtue of the fact that I've dealt with it for so long, and I've tried to educate myself about it, which I think is something that you need to do if you – it's the first step, I think, to getting better is to know what you're dealing with. So, all right, so OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, it's an anxiety disorder, which people have, you know, unwanted or repeated thoughts. There's two parts. There's the obsessive part and there's the compulsive part. So the obsessive part is sort of the mental part. You can't get a thought out of your head. I mean, not just like a regular, you know, where you're thinking about something and at night and it's keeping you up for a little bit and then you fall back to sleep. I mean, it's to, you know, a whole other level. And then you have these behaviors based on the thought. You know, if I don't touch this door handle 7 times in a row, or it's usually even numbers, 8 times in a row, I am, you know, someone's going to get sick. And, you know, whatever it is, the thought that you have, there's some kind of, you know, completely disassociated behavior that you need to do to sort of try to diminish the thought. But it never works. Doesn't matter how many times you do it. So you engage in behaviors or mental acts in response to these thoughts and obsessions. Often the person carries out the behaviors to reduce the impact or get rid of the obsessive thought, but it only brings temporary relief. Nothing actually gets rid of it. You could do something as many times, you know, you could do something 1,000 times, and you're still going to have the same thought.
So this is like in with Jack Nicholson, as good as it gets. Right. Mm-hmm. Where he has to lock the door 6 mm-hmm. times, whatever the number was.
He has to sit in the same place at the restaurant, right. Have the same waitress. Yeah, I mean, it's all...
He uses 3 bars of soap every time he washes his hands. He has to touch the bar of soap to the mirror before he does...
Absolutely. Right. It's all very real. It's all... I mean, you know, it's a movie, but it is... I identify with it.
Right.
OCD affects about 2.2 million American adults. And, you know, you're usually also are accompanied by other mental illnesses too, because, you know, you get depressed because this is what your life has become, that you're ruled by this disorder. You could have eating disorders, not on purpose, but I can vouch for that because, you know, I used to go days without eating just because I thought something was going to hurt me or make me ill. So I just wouldn't eat. It had nothing even to do with trying to lose weight or anything like that.
I haven't seen that.
Well, you weren't there. It strikes men and women in roughly equal numbers and usually appears in childhood, adolescence, or early adulthood. 1/3 of adults with OCD developed symptoms as children. And that, you know, it does run in families. Uh-huh. So, you know, it is genetic. Although it can develop in early years, it really starts to manifest more in, you know, early adulthood, you know, late teens, early 20s. So that's a little bit about OCD.
Is there a reason for that? Like, why does it develop in so late in your life? Like,
well, that's not so late in your life. I mean, that's pretty early in your life.
Well, in your developing life.
Well, I think that what happens, you know, I think when you're a kid, you know, you only have so many worries and you only have so much, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think these are, like we said before, these aren't
rational.
Yeah, they're not rational
I
worries.
As you're out in the world, and I think as you are more aware of, you know, just reality in general, I think it probably gets worse. Okay. As you have more, you know, as you have more things to worry about, or maybe it's your serotonin level. A lot of it has to do with your serotonin. If you have OCD or anxiety disorders, mental health disorders, your serotonin, which is, you know, quote unquote, like the happy chemical, is off balance. Mm-hmm. So something is wrong there. So it is a chemical imbalance, like for real.
Oh, sure. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story, my background. So I don't know when my OCD really developed. I know that, you know, when I was the first I can remember of it really is in high school that I had traces of it. I had the checking where, you know, I would check things constantly. I had a bit of hypochondria. But nothing was so overwhelming that it was ruining my life. I was still able to go out and have a good time and, you know, work and do my schoolwork and everything. It wasn't super debilitating. In college is when it really started to be more serious. So, and my first real memory of it being sort of out of whack was I was in New York City. I went to New York University for college. And that was kind of when the AIDS epidemic was sort of big. And I would see, you know, news stories about somebody on the subway got injected with HIV or, you know, something, you know, somebody got HIV from some random, you know, place. And I became obsessed with, I would go on the subway because I couldn't afford cabs. I would go on the subway and I would just be convinced that I had, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, that even if it made no sense that I had definitely, you know, someone had injected me with something or and it makes absolutely no sense. And I just became, you know, obsessed with the fact that, you know, I was going to be the one person to like get AIDS and get.
Is it true that people back then were really like injecting people with AIDS? Because I heard about that.
Yes, I think it did. You know, listen, maybe it happened like standing once on a subway.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there was one story, but I took that one story right. as it's going to happen to me.
Of course.
Which obviously makes no sense.
Right.
And I'm sure when I told people about it, they were like, what the hell? Like, right. what, you know, what is going on with her? But I legitimately was like, up at night worrying. I went and got AIDS tests and I, you know, it was not rational at all, but that is what this illness is.
Yeah. Nothing about this illness is rational.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It doesn't make sense.
No. So, so that was sort of my first, you know, and then I think I saw a psychiatrist and I went on medication, but you know, I was in college. I wasn't very responsible and I wanted to party and they couldn't, they told me I couldn't drink and take medication. And, you know, like it was just all kinds of, you know, stuff that kept me probably from being on a more regimented, you know, like, so I don't know how much it helped. I went on medicine, but I wasn't taking it, you know, religiously. And then, I think, you know, I had traces of it for through college, and then after college, I think I started on medication and going to a therapist more regularly, and it was controllable. I definitely still had it, but it was under control. And then, what really set it off was before you and I were trying to have a baby, that my OB said to me, you need to go off your medicine. You can't be pregnant and be on an SSRI. It'll, you know, you just can't do it. And I listened because, you know, here I was
it's a doctor, right?
Well, yeah, it's a doctor. I mean, and I was young. I was, you know, 26 years old. And I just figured, well, he must know. And I didn't do any more research than that. I didn't talk to another doctor. I just took his word for it, which was a mistake. I realize now, but I realized soon after. So I went off my medicine immediately, and it just put me over the edge. Like it completely, like I went into a tailspin, out of control, and I got pregnant very quickly. So then I was pregnant and dealing with an extremely debilitating case of OCD. I within, you know, a couple months of going off my medication, I was non-functioning. I was obsessed with the fact that I was going to do something to lose the baby. I didn't want to eat because I was, you know, convinced that everything was contaminated. I washed my hands probably upwards of, you know, 75 times a day, no matter what. If I touch something, I had to wash my hands. If I just everything, to the point where I moved out living with you and I moved in with my parents, and they kind of like took care of me for a couple months. I quit my job. I could not function. And
I could not handle.
And you could not handle it. Yeah.
I never experienced anything like this in my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what OCD was.
Right.
And I couldn't grasp what was going on. Like, I thought you were just going insane. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to handle it. And, you know, like you said, we were young. I was young. Mm-hmm. We were both immature.
Well, and we had already dealt with a very rocky first year of marriage.
Right. So...
we probably shouldn't have been trying for a baby at that point. I don't know what that was about. But I don't think, you know, I think we knew a lot of people who had taken like a year to get pregnant. I think we were probably thinking it was going to take a long time.
I don't know how much we were thinking.
Right, right.
Just like,
right.
Yeah, we're married. It's supposed to have a baby. Let's have a baby.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. It seemed fun.
Right. Yeah. It was a great idea.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know how to handle it. I was, you know, a little bit selfish, you know, at that point, and didn't want to deal with it just because I didn't get it or try to understand it. And it was just so foreign to me. Like, it was – I didn't know what to do. And it just caused us to separate. You know, not separate in – you know, we didn't fall apart. We didn't – you know, we leave each other.
I thought the whole time that you were going to leave me.
I think
I also at a certain point was like, oh my God, if I lose this baby now, he's definitely going to leave me. Like, that was kind of the only thing I felt like, you know, keeping
I don't even remember what I felt. I just remember feeling like I can't handle this.
I just remember feeling like, you know, God, you know, not only do I not want to lose the baby because, you know, I'm number one going to feel guilty because I'm going to feel like it's because I'm so screwed up and I've, you know, been so terrible. Number two, you know, I don't want to lose the baby because I want to be a mom. And number three, you know, my husband's going to leave me. Mm-hmm. So those are probably the three, you know, things I was thinking, and it was just completely overwhelming. So luckily, you know, my parents, my sister, you know, my brother, everybody kind of pitched in when you didn't.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
You come from a family of – you have OCD in your family.
Well, no, nobody had ever experienced this. No. We have OCD in my family. This was way more than anybody had dealt with. No, I think that you know, you kind of, like, abandoned me a little bit.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking back.
Right. I like to think if it happened now, it would be completely different. Oh,
I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I hope so.
Really?
Yes. Like... Yes, I hope so.
Yeah.
So, you know, at a certain point, they were like, we have to take her to a different doctor. And thank goodness they did. And the other doctor was like, that is ridiculous. You can absolutely be on an SSRI. You need to go back on now.
Have you explained what SSRI is? You said it a couple times.
Yeah, an SSRI is basically, you know, it improves your serotonin levels. It gets them back into, you know, the chemical imbalance that you have going on. And again, I'm not a doctor. Nobody should take my word for anything as being the final word, other than the fact that I've dealt with it. I've done a lot of research. My father is a doctor. He did a lot of research when I was going through it. You know, we were very on top of it once we figured out what we needed to do. And I have three kids who could go through it themselves. So I've done even more research about it since having kids. And other than that, though, again, I haven't gone to medical school, nothing. So, I went, and I, thankfully found a doctor who said, your health is just as important as the baby's. And, you know, and it's, there have been studies done, and if you go on Zoloft or Prozac, or there are a few other medications that have been tested, you know, you'll be fine. Your baby will be fine. Mm-hmm. And I eased back on, and it took a while because, number one, you know, to go completely off medication, it takes a little while to get back, you know, on your, to get your levels, you know, back.
Well, it fucks you up to all of a sudden just be like medication to nothing.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, that's.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And, then I think on top of that, you know, listen, I had all these other hormones going on because I was pregnant. And I was pregnant with a girl, which probably fucked me up even more because my estrogen was probably off the charts. And
if anybody wants to buy estrogen, we have extra.
But I, you know, I through it all, it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. It was to the point where there, you know, there were times when I was like, you know, I probably wanted to end it all, but I didn't because I was pregnant. It was awful. So, yeah, so, you know, I would say for people who I think the hard part is that had it been talked about more, had I known more about it, had I had a doctor who was more sensitive, had I, you know, gotten out there and done some research. And like I said, I was so young, maybe it would have worked out differently for me. And certainly my next two pregnancies were, you know, completely different, and you know, then maybe it would have been a better experience for me. But I certainly, you know, my first pregnancy was it was, you know, not what a pregnancy should be.
No.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And I think that more people are coming forward and saying, you know, I know Howard Stern talks about it some, that he had OCD pretty badly. And, you know, I know that there are other people out there. I'm not thinking of them right now. But, oh, Howie Mandel has talked about it, that he had bad OCD. And, you know, I think that's what we need. We need people to come forward and say, you know, listen, you know, I have it. And I think a lot of people do that with anxiety now, and especially with postpartum depression. And I think, you know, anxiety certainly and postpartum depression are linked. But I think that there's a whole misconception about, you know, the fact that if people are pregnant or and I don't know where it stands with nursing now. I think now you can even nurse on medication, although you should double check that. But I was told I couldn't again. And I didn't double check it. And honestly, I was so worried about my mental health and I knew I needed sleep and everything that I didn't breastfeed. And I was like, what's going to make me a better mom, breastfeeding or getting a little bit more sleep? And, you know, not, there's a lot of emotional stuff involved with breastfeeding, and breastfeeding is wonderful. And I'm 100% for it if that's what you choose to do. But, I also think that's another, you know, that's a huge, stigma too, you know, women who don't breastfeed. And that's a whole other podcast. I feel like we could go through that, but, I did not breastfeed, and I did not breastfeed because I was like, what is going to make me a better mom? And I knew myself, I knew what I needed, and I did not breastfeed.
Right.
And I didn't let anybody, and I had a lot of people telling me, you need to breastfeed.
Right.
Just like I had a lot of people telling me, you can't be on an SSRI when you're pregnant. And at a certain point, you got to say, oh my God, like, what? No, who are these people telling, like, this is my body and my life and my baby and my, you know, future.
Well, they told you to get off medication while you were pregnant and that fucked you up.
Mm-hmm.
You went back onto your medication and you were much better. Mm-hmm. You didn't breastfeed.
We have three very beautiful, healthy kids. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I say it all the time. I was breastfeed. My brother and my sister were not. I have horrible OCD. My brother and my sister don't. Right. Not to say that that means that you shouldn't breastfeed or whatever. I'm just saying, like, there's no right. You know, you can't. And yes, there's been studies done about breastfeeding. We could go on about this all day. What I'm saying is just do, you know, you got to listen to your body and you have to listen to your mind and you have to think about at the end of the day, these kids aren't raising your kids. You are. These kids aren't living your life for you. You are.
Don't listen to anybody but yourself, your family, and your doctor.
Mm-hmm. And the right doctor.
The right doctor.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. in the right family. Because sometimes you get the wrong info from your family too.
you know, find the people around you who understand. And, you know, I have friends who during it had no idea what was going on. And, you know, and I completely cut myself off from everything because I wouldn't use the phone. I didn't leave the house. I mean, for probably a 3-month period, I was a prisoner, pretty much. I was my own prisoner.
Well, are you getting into that stuff too or no?
I don't know what that means.
Like the phone stuff and the weird, obsessive.
Yeah, sure. Right. I'll talk about any of it. But at a certain point, it's like, okay, enough already. We get it. Okay. But.
All right. No need. Okay.
Right. I think just everything. It didn't matter. Like I was the MVP of
like we couldn't OCD. We couldn't have a landline phone in the house. Because you thought you woke up in the middle of the night, picked up the phone and dialed 911 and called on yourself.
God, I didn't even remember that. Yeah.
Like, so we
there
couldn't
were
have,
so many things.
So we couldn't have a phone in the house because you thought in the middle of the night you picked it up and called 911 on yourself because you burned the house down.
Or you killed the kids.
You whatever.
No, it wasn't when the kids were born.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I'm not remembering correctly then.
So, got it like, all. Just so irrational, like,
yeah,
crazy.
I was fucking amazing at OCD. I was never the star player at anything. If there was an OCD team, and we were in the Olympics, there needs to be an Olympic OCD team.
Oh my God, you should be the captain.
I would be amazing.
All right. I would represent. If you remember this story, before the kids, when we first got married, we were moving in with each other. Mm-hmm. We were at the Short Hills Mall in New Jersey at Williams-Sonoma.
Do you need to like give the specifics of?
Yes,
I
do.
Okay,
because they need to understand. Because if it happens to them, I want them to know
it's not going to be the same thing.
It's a public service.
It's a public service. It's an after-school special.
We were moving into our first place, and I was so excited to go buy things for the place, and, you know, stupid towels and whatever, you know, waffle makers and all this shit. And I was looking at you the whole time like, why are you not having fun? Like, this is so much fun. We should be, you know. And we left, and you looked at me, and you said, I think I turned the thermostat all the way up, and I'm going to burn the whole mall down and kill everybody.
Right, like accidentally.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's like a
And I said, like, what?
I know.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? Like, first of all, I didn't even know OCD was a 3-letter thing. I didn't get it. Like, so I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know what it was. So my wife to be says to me, I think I'm burning the whole mall down because I turned the thermostat up in Williams-Sonoma all the way up to the top, and all I wanted to do was buy towels. And, like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So I'm like, all right, let's just go home because you're not having fun. Mm-hmm. So this is not fun for me. Let's just leave. And then we had to go back to the mall.
No, I think our brother-in-law called. Gideon called the mall.
Oh, okay. So you called. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you – this was so long ago. Mm-hmm. You called our brother-in-law our brother-in-law and said – can you go back, call them all to find out, did it burn down or something?
I know, and it sounds funny, but you know, it really is like you hallucinate almost.
Yeah.
You know with every fiber of your being that you didn't do that and that's not who you are and you don't, you know, do things like that. And it's called actually scrupulosity, I think is the term. It's been a long time since I said it, but, you know, another thing about mental illness and OCD is like, we're very, like, you know, caring, sympathetic population. Like, we're always worried about – what we're worried about is that, God, did we hurt somebody else? Did we – you know, like, serial killers don't suffer from, like, you know, scrupulosity. Like, nobody – you know, like,
well,
we're –
that's my more – train of thought. Like, I'm more the serial killer here.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, you know –
I'm Dexter.
We're so worried about causing issues, and you know, like we know we would never hurt anybody, you know. But at the same time, it's like a hallucination that you have that you actually as much as with every fiber of your being, you know, you would never do that. With every fiber of your being, you tell yourself that you did it. It's like the craziest dichotomy. Like, yeah. It's the craziest. Yeah,
you can't wrap your head around it. You can't.
No, but it's very real. It's very real. Yes.
To you. To anybody else, it's psychotic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's hard. Like, yeah. Anybody listening out there, if you guys are like newly met, newly wed, newly whatever, and somebody is going through this, like, you gotta try to understand this, because you can't. It doesn't make sense. And it took
and
me.
You need to say to them, you know, if you really love this person, and if you think, you know, look, first of all, I want to say, number one, it's all temporary. Like, this too shall pass. Like, for real, it doesn't last a lifetime. If
well, thank God for you, it didn't.
Well, I treated it.
Right.
I got the help I needed. I got on medication, and a lot of people don't want to do medication, and I can't tell anybody what to do.
Right.
If you are not going on medication because you think you're going to be judged, please rethink that. Like, that is not a reason to go, not to go on medication. If you're trying to prove something to yourself, then have those people listen to this podcast and, you know, see that this is a real thing that people talk, that people go through, and that, you know, there's, listen, I, you know, I am now in, I, we have a, I have, I'm in a successful marriage. I have 3 kids. We live in a beautiful home. We have a wonderful life. We have great friends. We live a very full life. And I'm no less of a successful functioning human being than anybody else. I've had some blips and it's been hard. But anybody who doesn't go through hard times, you know, I think that there's something there that's, everybody goes through hard times. Mine happened to be because of a mental illness. Other people's happened to be because of something else. But it's all in how you deal with it. And it's all in that you want to get better. And that's your main goal. And nobody else should be allowed to determine how you decide to deal with something. That is you. That is all about you. And this is your life and your happiness. And, you know, when it comes to pregnancy, breastfeeding, motherhood, you know, your marriage, everything, you're in charge. You don't let anybody else tell you what to do. That's you. You don't, and that's on them. If they want to judge, fine. Then you let them go live their life. But that's not a reason to not, you know, to make a decision. Nobody else should determine that but you. And that's what I have to say about that. And
okay.
You know, and I'm willing, if people want to know more, if they want to, you know, if I'll share anything. I don't care if it's going to help somebody or make somebody's marriage or pregnancy or, you know, new moms, postpartum, anything. I've dealt with it all. So
yeah, if you guys have any questions, contact us.
Yeah.
Or contact Danielle.
Absolutely.
We're more than, listen, privately, we won't speak to anybody about anything you're saying. Like,
oh,
ask
of course.
Any questions you have, mm-hmm. because we've both gone through, well, Danielle, you know, mostly with this.
Well, but as a thing. Husband, as a spouse, I mean, I
yeah, even if, yeah, listen, if you're a guy out there and your wife is dealing with this, or even the opposite, if you're a woman and your man is going through this thing, contact me. And, you know, if you want to talk about how to deal with your spouse going through this, it's been a lot of years. I can mm-hmm. try to help you as much as I can. I mean,
yeah, and I think that I still deal with this every day.
It's tough. Listen, and yeah, we do too. Like, it's a constant battle every day for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we both have our issues, and we have to deal with them every day. And I think, you know, through medication, through talking to each other, through doctors or through whatever it is, we deal with it and we get through it.
Right.
And
but we deal with it.
It doesn't end, but we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's the key. But I certainly, you know, the people who are in my life now are in my life now because they know everything about me and are like, I love you anyway. Or, you know, I love you because
not anyway.
Of. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I have no, you know, what do I have to be embarrassed about? Like, I, you know, I kind of feel like it's kind of fucking badass that I had this issue and I dealt with it and I got better. And
yeah.
That's how people should look at it. Like, you have an issue and you deal with it and you do what you have to do to get past it. You're fucking badass.
Yeah. So wait, can we lighten this up at all? Like,
You have like an OCD drinking game or something?
Yeah. Like, we gotta, like, all right, this was very intense for us.
Yes.
We should, like, do like a, almost like a Cards Against Humanity kind of thing, real quick.
like an OCD version? How do you do
Is there
that?
Such a thing?
I don't know.
But we need to lighten this up a little bit towards the end.
I don't know. I don't know what the right light in the mood kind of thing is. But
just end it. Like on a down note.
I don't know. I don't know how to lighten the mood for this except to say, you know, that if you're going through it or if you're anxious or anything at all, you got to have a sense of humor about it. I mean, you absolutely have to, you know.
And that's really easy to say now for somebody who's going through it today. Because there's no sense of humor for them right now.
Right. I think that was really the low point for me. The lowest point was in. And I, you know, I love to laugh. And I think I like to think I'm funny. I know you don't think I'm funny. But I like to think I'm funny.
Somebody said you were funny.
Somebody did say I was funny.
That's, I saw you got a message saying, hey, of my life. Danielle, you're funny.
Yeah. yeah, that was a shining moment for me.
That was very strange. It's bizarre.
But I would say, you know, if you're in a point where you're not able to laugh, you know, that's always the key to say,
it's time for
shit,
help.
I got to do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's time for something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On that note, let's end this. Or do something to make it funny.
I didn't prepare anything to make it funny. No. I was too busy trying to get some kind of statistics going on because I needed to sound somewhat, you know, like I knew what I was talking about.
Right. Well, you did. You did good.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Yeah. But anyway, I hope, if nothing else, that people will say, oh my God, if this fucked up girl can tell everybody what's going on with her, then oh my God, I can do it too. Yeah. And we need to do a whole, postpartum and breastfeeding thing too, because the two are hand in hand. And I certainly, I think I had more postpartum after my first child than I was willing to admit. But I need to do a whole thing on that too. But, I don't know, all you people out there who are dealing with this, I don't know, You're my tribe.
Keep trucking.
I love you. And you're awesome. And just do what you got to do. Don't listen to anybody else. That's all I can say. It's fucking doctors who tell you that you shouldn't be doing this or shouldn't be doing that. You know what? When this guy was telling me that, I should have been like, where is your fucking vulva? Where? Right? Like, where's your uterus, motherfucker? Right. So... that's what I got to say about that. Fuck that shit.
All right, then.
All right.
Yo.
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 Are you woke yet?
This is whack.
Are you woke? Okay.
All right. No. All right. So this was our, you know, serious-ish episode.
Well, no, we have more serious episodes.
Informative, like, helper podcast. Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to join my Olympic OCD team, we are going to kill it at the next games. Kill it. So training starts soon. Start washing your hands.
All right. Okay. All right. Enough of that.
Start checking.
Let's just let them
start seeing if your coffee maker's off.
Say goodbye.
Your flat iron. Just start checking. Okay.
Yeah.
Love you.
Tell them the stuff.
What?
Tell them the stuff.
What stuff?
Like, you know.
Oh, Marriage and Martinis.
Facebook and
Yeah.
But it's important, so not blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Right.
Facebook, Instagram.
Marriage and Martinis. MarriageandMartinis@gmail.com.
And I think you'll see the one picture of pregnant I have of me, because it's the only picture I would allow getting taken.
Right.
I'll post that. I have one pregnant picture of me. I had three pregnancies. Well, I had four pregnancies. I had a miscarriage, but.
How did we deal with it all? Like,
I mean, I'm drinking my fourth Cosmo. So. Listen, life is fucking hard.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, at times it is. At times it's not. But you live for the good times and you get through the bad times. And, you know, I think even when I was dealing with OCD, I feel like I think about, you know what? Here's what I'm going to say about that.
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
When I was dealing with OCD, I was in a literal nightmare 24/7. I didn't sleep for days. I couldn't fall asleep without my mom next to me. I was 27 years old and I couldn't fall asleep without my mom next to me. And I think now people say to me, I don't get upset about much. Like, I don't get mad at people very often. I don't have fights with my friends. I don't have fights with my siblings. People often say to me, like, you seem very laid back and you seem like you don't get concerned about much, the little things, and I'm not a type A. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm like, nothing, like, what could bother me? Like, I've been through it all. Like, if something's going to bother me, it must be really fucking bad. Because, what I've dealt with, it's been bad. So I think that when people say to me, oh, you seem so laid back, I say to myself, well, yeah, I seem laid back because, you know, when you've dealt with being a prisoner in your bedroom for 3 months, you kind of are like, somebody doesn't show up at my kid's birthday party or somebody, it's okay. I'm cool with it. It's all good.
Small scale stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's it.
All right. Let's say goodbye. We'll talk about, right, more of this stuff later.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Done.